Hello and welcome to the Social Media Show podcast, sponsored by Social Pilot, the social media management and scheduling tool. I'm your host, Jonathan Pollinger, and I'm a social media trainer. In each episode, you'll learn how an inspiring personality uses social media, and you'll pick up some cutting-edge techniques and top tips. You can also watch the show live at 9 a.m. on Mondays, or catch the replay on my Facebook page at facebook.com/PollingerSocial. Hello and welcome to this week's episode of The Social Media Show. In episode 20, I chat with Sam Appenson of Nouse Digital. We talk all about Google Ads and Facebook Ads. If you enjoy The Social Media Show, please subscribe and leave a review. Hello and welcome to The Social Media Show. I'm Jonathan Pollinger, and great to have everybody watching today, either watching live, watching the replay, or listening to us on the podcast. So if you are interested in, if you are using Google or Facebook ads, today's show is for you, because I have with me today Sam Appenson. Sam, welcome to the show.
Hi, hello. Hi, Jonathan. Thank you for inviting me on here.
No, it's great to have you here along with your expertise. Looking forward to getting really stuck into ads and what they can do for businesses. So let's sort of kick off a little bit about yourself, your role. And I don't think so far on the show I've actually had anybody that works for an agency. So it'd be really interesting to hear about your experience of agency life. So, shoot, how did you end up working for Nouse Digital?
So going back sort of a couple of years while I was actually at university, I have a relationship with Ian, like outside of work, known him for a number of years since I was like 14. He's been friends with my family.
And so I started is the boss, yeah, for those that don't know.
Yeah, I mean, at the moment, we are sort of the partners more than a boss and employee.
Okay.
But he, you know, we started talking a couple of years ago when he was at another agency, and I started doing some work for him, basically, sort of like freelance, just earning myself some biscuit money, is what I like to say. Basic, you know, web design stuff. And we started talking marketing and tech, and we sort of have this aligned viewpoint and this passion for what we do within marketing, but we also felt that agencies could deliver more.
Okay.
In terms of the relationship we have with the client. So typically a client approaches agency with a brief, you know, agency go, yeah, forecast us X, Y, and Z to do, you know, you want a new website, you want a new brand, blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. The transaction occurs, and then pretty much everyone says goodbye.
Yep.
But we felt the agencies have, you know, you've got, usually with an agency, you've got lots of different specific skill sets, which can be used by businesses to achieve things that, you know, they never thought possible. They normally come to us and say, hey, we want a website, but actually they want a lot more than that. So one of our clients, give an example, they sell pretty heavy duty machinery. We have a relationship with them, we have a retainer with them. Typically, if they would approach a normal agency, that would have met us one time or a couple of times, had the meeting, would have built them a fancy pants website, great, fantastic, and then said goodbye. Mm-hmm. Now, because we built a relationship with them, we're able to actually evolve the website going on, and actually better reflect the nature of the business and their customers. Mm-hmm. And then on top of that, we're able to help them with new product launches, we're able to actually help them with their social media, we run ads for them, and they've seen obviously a more valuable return on that investment versus if they'd come to us and we'd, you know, given them, here's the price, here's your stock website, off you go. So they actually get a lot more value for much long term.
Yeah, I was just going to kind of make that point. So it's more of a long-term relationship than perhaps a transactional one, which a smaller digital marketing kind of like company or even maybe even a standard agency would provide. Yeah. So that's interesting. And then by doing that, you're saying that that's actually making their business work harder and more efficiently.
Work harder, more efficiently. Hmm. It's a case of, you know, it's a case of, you know, as the world, the wider world has evolved, we felt agencies had to evolve to deliver more, to deliver more quickly, more efficiently, to provide better value for money.
Yep.
For businesses. So that's why we work this way, and this is why we work only in this way. For smaller businesses, we have the Kate Crumbs brand, where we run a subscription model.
Okay.
Which is a bit more affordable for the smaller businesses, but in both cases, what we're looking to build is long-term relationships, because that produces a better outcome.
Interesting. So if somebody just approached you for a website, or say manage their social media, you wouldn't sort of do that as a one-off kind of transaction?
No, very rare. We built some apps, which is build the app, deploy it, whatever. But typically we're looking for a longer term relationship, just because it's provides better value for you in the end anyway.
Sure. So your role then specifically, do you focus on certain aspects of digital marketing?
Yes.
I mean, you're here to talk about ads, so obviously that's going to be one of the things that you do.
Yeah. So my role is encompassed three words: brands, ads, and social.
Okay.
So I provide a lot of the strategic advice and direction for clients in terms of where we're going long term and in the short term. I manage a lot of ad accounts across Facebook and Google.
Yeah.
And I also manage the social channels as well.
Okay. Fantastic. So moving on to ads then, why would a business want to spend money on Facebook and Google ads? What does it give them? That's a big question. You could be talking for a while here, because there are, you know, kind of a number of reasons why they would. But what are the key sort of reasons why they'd want to do that?
A short answer is actually they don't. They want the attention of the end consumer.
Right.
It just so happens that these platforms have their attention. So if you take one example, if you take a storage company, you've seen the big yellow companies and
yeah,
big yellow and a couple of the bigger brands. If, for example, if I'm a user and I'm moving house and I need storage, the first place I go to is Google, right? So, and then when you go into Google, typically most 80% of the traffic, or some of our accounts a bit more than that, is coming from mobile phones anyway. Once someone goes onto Google and performs a search, you've only got four or five opportunities as a business. And when I say opportunities, I actually mean the ad positions, right?
Because there's not a lot of space on the phone.
There's
screen,
not a lot of space. So, So I'm a user. I go on Google. I said, I need storage near me. Now, all the local businesses need that person. They want my attention.
Mm-hmm.
It just happens. They're not going to get it with a leaflet unless it's very, you know, unless you time it perfectly, then put it in Facebook the day before I need to move house. And they're not going to get it by putting an ad in the yellow pages or in a newspaper. They're going to get my attention when I need that service from Google. So that's really what they want. It's you've heard this before probably from Caribbean and some others. It's really about where the attention is. So what they want to do is actually get the attention of the end users so they can provide their service or sell their product.
The crucial thing with Google is the fact that it's at the right point in time, isn't it? Because if they're generally, if they're putting in a search term, then they're going to, they literally might even put in the word buy, for example, in front of a product or a service. And so that's pretty certain then that it's the right moment.
Yeah. So Google is intent based. It's getting people when they have the intent to actually perform an action, whether it's to either find more information or to transact there and then, you want to be there. So when, if I go back a bit, early on in Google years, when SEO was still, and still is important, but when SEO was the main thing, the reason you had to be in the top positions, right? As Google's evolved, they need to make more money. The organic results don't really show up as much. So if you look at it, if you are typically
there's more ads taking over the screen compared with organic. Is that what you're saying there?
Yes. So particularly on mobile, because you've only got, if I grab my phone and turn off, you've only got so much screen here, right? Now, if you've got four or five ads in my Google search, if I go onto Google, and then you've got the organic and you don't spend any money on ads, overall, you're actually the sixth or seventh option.
Right.
So if you aren't spending money on Google Ads and you're spending money on
SEO,
the very best you can do is stick your seventh.
Mm-hmm.
You're gonna, yeah. So that's why typically people then go, okay, look, I need to be, you know, one or two in the ad results, and they go and find an agency you can do that for them.
Okay. Yeah. So how would you say that Facebook ads differ from that?
So it's basically the reverse. With Facebook ads, you can actually instigate or initiate that intent. So you create
and that's content. That's because of targeting, yes, because you can be very specific around who.
Yes, because you can be very specific about who you target and the actual content that you place in the ads. So to then, let's say, so there's one client that we have that target like sort of stonemasons, for example.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you know, lots of people have, let's say, stonemason or working masonry in their Facebook bio. Facebook collects all this data on its users and then makes that basically available to not purchase. But if we took it this way, so Facebook has the data sits in the black box. We as advertisers go to Facebook and say, hey, I'm looking for the attention of stonemasons.
Yeah.
And I want to show them this piece of content.
Yeah.
That's essentially how Facebook ads work. And you can then, if I've got a product that is, I'm trying to sell stonemasons and to get their attention, they've never heard of me. The stonemasons can't intentionally look for me because they don't know I exist.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas on Facebook, I can go to Facebook and say, hey, I want to get these stonemasons to buy my stuff. Can you show them this ad?
So good for awareness then.
Yes. Facebook is great for awareness. Google display ads are good for awareness. Monday.com is one company I think do display quite well. Bellroy, they do display quite well. And you can sort of, you know, generate awareness with display ads. Typically, I feel like they've had their time a bit. And I've only ever seen a handful of companies did Google display ads really well. So when I'm talking about display ads for your listeners or viewers watching today, I mean, when you go on a website and you're just say looking for, you're looking at Sky Sports, whatever, they don't do display ads, but any random website that has some kind of content that you want, and on the side of it, you've got an ad for, you know, trainers or a t-shirt or whatever.
That's related content.
Related content to the content you want now. So they're actually reasonably good for raising awareness and getting sort of their initial click. If you've got a really interesting display ad, a really interesting graphic or whatever, generally it's a nice way to sort of start the funnel.
Yeah. So talking of funnels, I was just with a client yesterday discussing this in relation to LinkedIn ads, and it's kind of often best, isn't it, agree with me or not, but to sort of like get the awareness going initially with potential clients before you sort of get into, to call different names, but like traffic ads to get clicks to your website, basically, and that sort of thing. Would you agree with that sort of approach? You kind of like to, is that how you would run campaigns typically for a client?
We'll start with awareness and then go into traffic. And sometimes what you can do is you can actually exclude audiences, or you narrow down your audiences. So for example, if you run a video ad on Facebook and then you can create an audience out of people who've watched, let's say 30 or 40 or 50% of that video, you've then narrowed your search because you know that these people are definitely interested in your products, or at least have shown some interest in your product. So you start there, then you hit them with retargeting, or you hit them with traffic ads.
Got you.
Yeah.
So retargeting, that's sort of something that's, well, sophisticated for want of a better word. There's quite a lot of misunderstanding about it, and also quite a few businesses probably aren't even aware of it either. So,
no,
called remarketing, isn't it? Do you want to sort of explain that concept a little bit, because it can be highly effective?
Yes, it can be.
It can also be quite irritating as well.
There's a few little tips and tricks I can sort of give in that respect. So in regards to retargeting, so let's say in the example, this is sort of a system or a structure we use with all our clients, because we're running, again, the beauty of working with an agency like us is we're running your Google and your Facebook ads. So let's say you get a certain amount of traffic onto onto your website via Google or search or whatever, and you know, people get into the basket or, you know, get into the reservation page or the bit where they need to enter the information, and for some reason they don't all follow through. Now, what you can do with retargeting or remarketing, if you will, is then re-advertise to that person later on, either on the same platform with Google Display or on a different platform with Facebook. Yeah. So you have Facebook pixels that we install onto the website, which, for lack of a better word, basically tracks whoever goes on the site. And then we can then put them in an audience and actually display ads to those people. So if, for example, you, and again, working really closely and having that information exchange with our clients, we know that there might be some possible barriers to entry or some other arguments that we can then use to play on an ad. So rather than typically, a nice easy thing to do is just to discount the product, which is great, but like, you know, it's an easy sell, it doesn't require my effort, but then that cuts down into profit, for example. So let's say someone goes onto a website for, I don't know, a purse or shoes or whatever.
Yep.
We can then, and for some reason they click on, you know, a group, they click on, you know, brand bags or brand shoes, then they don't buy it, then they go elsewhere. We can then put the people who've clicked on brand shoes, put them in an audience and retarget them on Facebook. And let's say that brand, that shoe company has a certain influencer that, or certain celebrity or whatever that happens to be wearing their shoes. We can put that image into the ad. So now you've got someone who's interested in your shoes, and then you've got, and then you can actually advertise to that person, someone that they might actually be looking at, they might look at, you know, with affinity. She's a really obvious example. If Kim Kardashian was wearing the shoes, and you've got someone who goes and buy these shoes, looking to buy the shoes, doesn't buy the shoes, they go on Facebook and see an ad of, oh, okay, Kim K wears these shoes, they might not be so bad, I might go check them out again. Then you click through, and then you purchase, or, you know, and that's sort of a really simple strategy we use.
Yeah, well, you say simple, but that's kind of almost like taking it to another level, the fact that you're combining Google with Facebook on that one. And like you say, that's an advantage if you've got that sort of relationship with a client, because you can do both. Because in a lot of scenarios, it'll just be the agency running one sort of campaign, or themselves just running one campaign on one platform. So would that actually be a tip as such then, to sort of make Google and Facebook ads almost work together? Is that a standard? How you do it?
Yeah, I mean, again, for us, it's sort of like pretty simple. But yes, for most businesses, a standard simple takeaway from this is you can make your Google ads and Facebook ads work together. Creating custom audiences based on your landing pages. Now, again, a lot of people, this might go over their heads, but what this means is you take people who have landed on a specific page, take our brand shoes, for example, and you say, okay, these 20,000 people, let's make a group out of you, and then let's remarket towards you guys again on Facebook, on another platform. And that's what you can do with Facebook pixels.
Got you. So if this all sounds too complicated for people, then they can come to you, can't they?
You can train
them how to do it. But
you can train them, and then we can run it.
One way or another, we can help them out. Yeah, you mentioned landing pages there. How important are landing pages in the sense that you set up an ad and you want somebody to buy a product or book on an event or purchase a service, that they actually go to a dedicated landing page? Is that important?
Yes, very important. A couple of reasons. So one, with good user UI and UX and good design, you can actually encourage the desired action. You can encourage them to click on the button to buy or whatever. That's first of all, so it's good to have those landing pages. And secondly, if someone clicks on an ad for, again, brown shoes, but they go to a shoe website and they see black and blue and all the colors, it doesn't really draw them in. So I've clicked on an ad for brown shoe, or I'm looking for brown shoes, and I see lots of different, it's a bit sort of...
you've got to have a focus, in other words.
It doesn't focus the actual end user on, you know, the product or service you're trying to sell. It doesn't focus them on the action you want to take. Specific landing pages allow for focus. You can get the user to pick up exactly what they want. You can present your argument in your landing page, and you can actually, with good design, encourage them to click the buttons as well.
So another good tip there. We had a question. I'll put it on the screen actually. Helen says, for those that are listening on the podcast, would you say that Google Ads work better than Google Shopping, or do they each work in different scenarios?
So, everything works. Depends on how you do it. So when she says Google Ads, I'm assuming she means search ads.
I would imagine so.
Yeah, I'd imagine search ads. Yeah. So you can have some cases where search ads work more effectively than shopping ads. You can have other cases where shopping ads work better than search ads. It depends on the product. It depends on the audience. Depends on your budget. There are lots of different factors before you can say, yes, this definitely works better. Because it, if you're selling a service, for example, shopping ads aren't going to work for you.
It's not going to work. No. Yeah. Yeah, so the different scenarios is the key there, then, really. It's just each case on its own merits. Okay, thanks for that. Do keep the questions coming, folks, whilst we're here. Or if you're watching the replay, just post a question in the comments, and we will be sure to answer you. So Instagram, part of Facebook. How would you typically use that? Because it's kind of as Facebook's estate sort of has grown with Instagram and WhatsApp, I kind of like noticed that it's all sort of amalgamating, isn't it? So like only yesterday I spotted that you can now put a WhatsApp button on Facebook ads, so get people to send you a message if they're interested. So there's this kind of like integration. So when you're setting up an ad, you know, you can let Facebook take care of it all, can't you, and just kind of like send it here, there, and everywhere. would you kind of like take that approach, or to use that word again, would you sort of like focus it down into certain areas? So say like Instagram only or even WhatsApp only?
Yeah, so it depends on the client, the objective, but I like to specify. So I don't particularly like doing display ads on Facebook, in-stream article ads. So this means if you open an article on Facebook, Lad Bible, I think, have them, and you're reading an article, and then in between it says, you know, buy this brown shoe. Or
whatever. Yeah, kind of a bit intrusive.
A bit intrusive. I don't like doing those ads, so I typically untick that box. But to come back to your messenger question, I would specify, I would look at the client and say, okay, what are we trying to achieve here? Do we actually want them to talk to us? Really not just applying sort of technology or the tactics for the sake of tactics, just trying to do it and analytic viewpoint, saying what are we trying to achieve, what is the end user's goal, what are they looking at or looking for from this sort of service or this sort of product, and then we go that way, we approach it in that way.
Yeah, that's a very, very important point, and one that I stress in training as well, that it's, you know, it has to be objective led rather than anything else, rather than format or creative or where you want to put it and all that kind of stuff. So good example of that, if you agree, hope you will, is videos, because quite often I think you find people's natural inclination is to set up like a video views ad if they've got a video. But that's not necessarily right, is it? Because again, it comes back to the objective and what you're actually trying to do. Because the video, at the end of the day, is just content, and so it's what you are actually trying to do with that video. It will depend on will guide your choice of what type of ad that you set up. Any views or anything else to add to that?
Yeah. Also, the kind of video and how the video is produced. So if you've got a video that typically, let's say you've got an external video production company have produced a nice little brochure type video.
Yeah.
That's usually not going to work that well on Facebook. It can do, right? But for example, the intro, if the intro is 10 seconds of your logo, most people are just going to skip past it in the newsfeed. So it's just, it depends on how the video, for example, it depends on the actual, how the content is produced. If the content was produced with social in mind, if the content was produced in mind to be an ad, then you can use it. So again, this is why sort of we started this, and that's why we've been doing this for quite a while now, is we like to look at the objectives and look at what we're trying to achieve from sort of a top-down view.
So you're going to tell me now that you can do the videos for clients as well, aren't you?
Actually, we have done in some cases, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
But is that, so that would actually be a tip then, as such, that you should not sort of just like pick up any old video that's hanging around, but actually have a purpose designed video, purpose produced video for an ad?
Yes, particularly if you've got the time and the budget. It doesn't have to be a massive budget, a few hundred pounds. Actually, you know, take a couple of days and film something that is with social in mind, then absolutely, then go ahead and do that. If you are just going to post a random video that doesn't, you know, convey the right things, then I think you're better off saving your money rather than just running a random ad with a random video in it.
Okay, that's good. And you touched on budget there, and this is always a tricky one because it is really always how long is a piece of string, isn't it?
I have an issue with the word budget, actually.
Okay, go on then, tell us.
Because it's an investment. People don't think of marketing as an investment. You're doing something with the view or the return, or the view of trying to get a return from this little money you're going to spend. Mm-hmm. People think of, budget, I'm going to try and minimize, you know, I'm only going to spend £500, that's what I can afford. Mm-hmm. I would say, well, how much can you afford to get, how much business can you afford to get back in the long term?
That's it.
Instead of trying to constrain your budget, think of it, okay, how much can I afford to invest? How much time can I take to really think about what I'm going to do? And how much time am I going to take to have the conversations again with the agency or people like us to really make sure that this money you're about to spend is going to produce a return for you?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, it's just an equation, isn't it? So I can give an example, actually. I've got a client in Cheltenham, and they spend thousands every month on Facebook ads. So that might like seem crazy to a lot of small businesses, but then 80% of their turnover is from Facebook ads. So it's like, why wouldn't you spend more money to make more money? So that's sort of quite a good example of actually the sort of investment approach. But if somebody, you know, talking hard figures though, for somebody like new to the entire thing, and it's quite fun me asking you this because I hate answering it, but somebody new to the entire thing, they want to do it themselves, in actual sort of pounds, what would you say is kind of like a worthwhile figure that they could just sort of kick off with on Facebook or Google?
As in first month, 500 or 1,000 before you start to see anything.
Not really, you would say not really worth messing about with lesser sort of amount than that.
If you want to have a play, by all means, I can't just stick it on Facebook. But if you really want to see, you know, a proper return, you're looking at, you know, if your business is just starting up, save as much money as you can and then reinvest in them. You can deploy that money, deploy more of that money and deploy it with more intelligence later on.
Because as you say, if it's done right, then it's not a cost. You're getting more back than you're spending.
If you're a company that spends, let's say, £10,000-£12,000 in ads, but that £10,000 brings back £100,000 or more, it's pretty simple.
Cool. So I can't believe we've only actually got about 3 minutes left.
That's
absolutely flown by. So you've had given us some great value there, but just to sort of press you maybe for a top tip or two, and then one other question. So yeah, I mean, what would you say the key sort of things to people should do when it comes to Facebook and Google Ads?
Okay. With Facebook ads, content is the most important word, along with the targeted.
Okay, so
take the time and take the money to spend the money to produce
good creative.
With Google ads, I would say make sure you get your conversion tracking set up. If you aren't measuring your conversions properly, and I mean properly as in breaking down landing page, button clicks and phone calls and all the rest of it, and having your extension, the basic box ticking stuff, get the basic right, get your metrics in order, make sure you're looking at the insight properly on Facebook and on Google.
Very good point. Glad you mentioned that. That nearly slipped part of the slide, didn't it? The measurement side of things. Right. Yeah, because I do find with my clients, that's probably an area that they are a bit remiss on. And I mean, with like both of them, there is just such a wealth of data, isn't there, with Google and Facebook in terms of what they're providing. And so you really can learn lessons from what is working and what isn't working, which can help you do more business ultimately. Yeah, so good tip.
I think some businesses find the data overwhelming.
Yes, that is true.
And it maybe it's a little bit hard for some businesses to actually make sense of what it all actually means. But just take time to, if you are starting it on your own, take the time, take a weekend or two just to really make sure you understand these metrics and then apply them to your business appropriately.
Yeah, good. I mean, just on that, I would say, and be interested to know whether you agree on this one, I would say on Facebook Insights or any of the social platforms, it's good to actually focus on the content. So if it's Facebook, then look at the stats for the posts and the metrics around that. If it's Twitter, look around tweets, LinkedIn, look around the posts again. Because, yeah, it can be overwhelming. And I would tend to think that that is more important than, say, demographics, for example, because you are actually seeing the final end result when you're looking at the post, because you're actually seeing, you can compare one ad with another to see what has worked and what hasn't worked. So perhaps that would help steer people a little bit in the right direction.
Another thing, when you mentioned demographics, people don't think about a lot is psychographics. And the actual people, that each user is a person. So let's say, you know, there's people, if you look at demographics, looking at age, location or whatever, if you look at where you went to school as an easy example, you and your 30 people in your class, or, you know, 15 boys, 15 girls, all in the same area, all around the same age, but you're all very, very different. So if you think in terms of psychographics and looking at behavior and trying to understand that, like books behind me, most of them are actually psychology books, and trying to get a grasp on that stuff, that can be really, really useful as well.
More about people's behavior than their actual static data.
Behavior and attitudes and that sort of thing.
I feel as though we're opening up a whole big subject.
I won't go into the much about that. If anyone wants to ask me about those kind of questions, you can find me on LinkedIn or wherever.
Yeah, nice. Well, no, where can people find you?
We are on Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn as Nowse Digital Limited. You can find myself. You can find me on LinkedIn. I'm Samuel Penson on LinkedIn. Also, we are on. We have a podcast called Hit Publish, which you you were a guest on, and you know, so you can find out a bit more about us on there. Also, if you search Nowse Digital Limited on Google, we usually do the first result. Go ahead and click around. We encourage, you know, even if you're not interested in that and what we do and not looking to buy from us, go ahead and just learn something. We post on our blog quite regularly, which is quite, you know, got some quite good content on there. So Hit Publish is hitpublish.digital. There's a website for that, or you can search on Spotify and Apple Podcasts for Hit Publish. Ourselves, we are Nowse Digital. So just set a search on, you know, Instagram and Facebook. You find us there. You can drop me a message on LinkedIn. I'm Samuel Benson.
Fantastic. Thanks very much. Just a final opportunity for any other questions. Just going to ask you one more, Sam. Oh, we just got a comment from Nigel, which is very nice. You're welcome, Nigel. Thanks, guys. Brilliant session. Very interesting comments. Thank you. Just final question, which I ask all my guests. If you were to go for a drink, and I understand you're partial to coffee, so if you're going to go for a drink for a nice cappuccino, with any living person, who would that be and why?
I'm going to think about this. I can't. probably Elon Musk.
Yeah, not the first person to have said that.
Just because here's where you're thinking. And if you've ever read the Tesla blogs on their master plan, part 1, 2, and 3, the way he envisioned his company, you know, all those years ago before they even built the first Tesla Roadster. He seems so far ahead of everyone else. It's almost ridiculous. I probably want to talk to Elon if I could.
Fantastic. And thank you very much for being a brilliant, brilliant guest.
Thank you for having me.
Goodbye.
Thanks. Well, bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the Social Media Show podcast sponsored by Social Pilot. And if you'd like to learn more about how I can help you make the most of social media for your business or organization, please visit pollingersocial.co.uk, or you can find me on social media at pollingersocial.